plate a potential nugget.
If I may persist with this transition for a couple of minutes, Rajiv, one of the things that comes up, when sometimes leaders have to make this dramatic shift from a busy corporate life to a path like the one you've chosen, is sort of the attitude towards money, right? I find that it's a key part of the equation. What have you learned, whether it's your journey or some of the leaders you've worked with? Is there any perspective around how we should think about the economics or the mindset with which we need to approach the economics when we are at these transition points?
Yeah, I think, that's a very pertinent question, Deepak, because it comes up all the time when people are trying to make the shift or considering the shift. I think a couple of points here. One is that I think, particularly for people who are successful, I think, we realize that actually after a point, success does not add to greater happiness. And it's somewhat the same with money, right? I mean, you need obviously a certain quality of life, you want to make a living, you want to send your, children to right schools, et cetera, et cetera. But an unending pursuit of money does not add to our quality of life, whether it's our fulfillment or happiness and so on. So one is, I think, that perspective that, we need to recognize how much is enough. And there is a broader shift that happened to me naturally during that time, which is the distinction between needs and wants. I always wanted, I was fortunate, as I said, to grow every 2-3 years, I would get promoted, et cetera, et cetera. You're moving to the bigger house, bigger car, and, the latest cell phone, whatever. But do I need that? Not necessarily. And I think somewhere deep down to me, that was coming through, that bunch of things which I'm pursuing, which have become my wants and almost to some extent, even an addiction. Do I need that? Do I need the next big house? Do I need the next big car? And I figured I don't. And when I look at what I need to be happy, even financially, is not that lot, is not that much. So I think recognizing how much do we need in our own personal context, and in our family context, firstly, that's important. So that automatically, or there's a good chance that's going to reduce, your whole financial constraint in the first place. The second thing I've seen with experience is letting go of future financial growth is actually not that challenging. So which means if you were on an upward trajectory financially or in your career, et cetera, and you're saying, I'm getting off this this treadmill and I'm willing to give up the future sort of earning potential. That part is okay. What I've seen in with a lot of clients, et cetera, as well, is if they are able to exit and pretty much maintain the lifestyle they were exiting at, not the future lifestyle, not the potential lifestyle, but the lifestyle they were at the point of exit. If they can maintain that, then I think they are generally very happy because now they are pursuing things that are meaningful. They add to, meaning and fulfillment and happiness and balance and bunch of other things. So the holistic outcome is actually very healthy. But in case it's a situation where that exit is going to lead to a decline in your sort of quality of life, just from a financial standpoint, then I think you have to think a little bit more carefully about it, because you yourself, who's, passionate about something, et cetera, and want to make this call, might be okay. But invariably, people also have other people in their ecosystem, right? There's a spouse, the kids, et cetera. And then it becomes a bit of a challenge to be managed, because you're kind of, you're kind of disrupting other people's sort of life as well. So you may be okay to sleep on a mattress, but it's not always fair to expect everyone around you to do the same.
Very interesting.
So I think those are the 2-3 perspectives I've seen.
I'm reminded of an earlier conversation at the podcast with Prakash Iyer, who's a fellow alumnus of IIM Ahmedabad, who was last the country head of Kimberly Clark Lever, and now he's a speaker, an author, and a coach. And he narrates a story about Joseph Heller, the author of the book Catch-22.
Like a lot of other kids coming out of middle-class India, financial goals were important in the early stage of our lives, and therefore, you know, it was important for you to kind of make enough bread and butter and some jam. But beyond that, I guess I've been swayed by this guy. You know, there's this interesting story of how Joseph Heller apparently was at this party thrown by an investment banker in New York.
This is the guy who wrote Catch-22.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Joseph Heller was, you know, but a friend of his took him along and said, come, it's a great party. You'll meet all the who's who of the city. And as he went there, it was a great evening, lots of crystal, the finest wine. And as Joseph Heller stood sipping a drink, his friend said, you know, do you realize that our host, the investment banker, probably makes more money in a day than you do, than you have in a lifetime? And Joseph Heller said, you know, that's probably true. But you know something? I have something he'll never have. And the friend says, what? And Joseph Heller says, enough. And that's a story that's kind of stayed with me. And in a sense, I think I spent the last few years of my life saying, hey, I think I need to learn to say enough. And the minute I know I have enough, you're sorted.
Right.
You don't really need to worry about it. And then you're free to go and do what you want to do.
Personally, I found knowing the enough point tremendously liberating in pursuing what I enjoy and at the pace at which I enjoy life. I also like the distinction Rajiv makes about foregoing future upside versus taking a hit on the current lifestyle. Taking a cut on the current lifestyle does raise the bar quite a bit on how much one needs to align with all the key actors in our life. The other related point to mention here is that while we speak about financial abundance or scarcity, it's worth thinking about time abundance or scarcity concurrently. One of my earlier guests, Ashley Willens of Harvard Business School, speaks about the notion of time poverty and says that when we are short on time, we experience a certain unhappiness which is similar to financial poverty. She says quite eloquently that we often focus on time value of money, but we don't pause to consider the money value of time. Bringing time into the economics might sometimes make the decision easier and the proposition easier to navigate with the key stakeholders around us. If this is of interest, you might want to tune into my conversation with Ashley Willens.